So it's a different view from here than it is from over there, that's for sure. You guys look great today. I want to first off just start greeting everyone, and you guys look beautiful. And to those watching online, we pray that the blessings and the spirit is being felt there at your homes or on vacation, wherever it may be. I want to say hello to my mom. I know she's watching. She was very excited that I am up here today. Just want to honor her really quick, because I know if it wasn't for her and her constant, diligent prayers, I wouldn't be where I am right now. Amen. I also want to honor my beautiful wife, Abby. Where is she? She's upstairs doing lyrics. She's working this morning. Tomorrow we celebrate 18 years of wedding, of marriage. 18 years, three beautiful kids. Abby is the answer to prayer. She grounds me. She protects me. She gives me great advice. And she also tells me when I need to calm down and relax. I live a busy life, and she knows how to reel that all in for me. So, babe, I love you. Happy anniversary. Yeah. Secondly, I want to thank Pastor Carlos for this opportunity. I walk in on Sunday morning one day, and he has a way of asking you how to do things sometimes. And he goes, Kingsley, I got you down to preach one Sunday morning. I said, oh, okay, all right, let's do this. But the anxiety is real, let me tell you. It's not easy coming up here, and you know, and I give it to him and all the preachers that do this every week, because it's not easy. But you know, it reminds me, it takes me back to Philippians 4:6, and it says, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your request to God. So my request, my petition was, Lord, please give Pastor Carlos a beautiful, powerful message that he needed to share with this congregation today. I'm here, he's there. That prayer did not get to the heavens. So it is my honor to be up here with you guys, and I pray that the Lord speaks to you guys through me. And you know, sometimes it's, you know, the Lord has to take you out of your comfort zone, my comfort zone, to do for something greater. And I thank you. Before I begin, just really quick, you know, this is not my first time behind an altar preaching. I remember way back when I was a young man, as a cadet, back in Damascus Christian Church on that old location in Rockaway Boulevard. And Imana Baquero at the time comes up to me, Kingsley, I want you to bring a word to the cadets. 10, 11. I didn't know what I was doing. So what I did is I picked the longest book of the Bible that I could find, read the whole chapter, said God bless you, and walked off. I can promise you I'll be a little bit longer today. Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks, Lord, for this opportunity. Lord, I give you thanks, Lord. I ask you, Lord, that you may open the eyes and the hearts of the people, Lord, that you may use me, Lord, as an instrument, Lord. Let the word that you have put into me, Lord, that it may touch somebody, Lord. It may heal one somebody, Lord. It may mend the broken, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In the name of Jesus, pray. Amen. You know, up until a couple of days, I was a little going back and forth with the message, and I really didn't, you know, I wasn't fully confident with what I was going to bring. But something at home happened that made me laugh in awe, and, you know, Lord, thank you. So the internet goes out in my house. And for something, when you got three kids, even adults, if something like that happens, it's very detrimental. You know, so my kids, my girls come down the stairs, I'm in the basement working, and they go, Dad, the internet is out. Yeah, I know. I'm trying to fix this, see what's going on. So I'm, you know, working the routers, and Ava goes, Dad, is it ready? You know, hurry up. And what comes out of Arietta's mouth, the next line, made me realize that, you know, that the Lord was saying, relax, I got you. Ariana says, Ava, and Abby's my witness, Ava, she goes, there's a process to get the internet back up. You have to trust the process. I started laughing. You know why I started laughing? Because, and Abby asked me, what's so funny? Why are you laughing? So I show her my message, and I scroll up to the title of the message, and the title of the message was Trust the Process. So I just want to start really quick, just to give you a little bit of my testimony, my upbringing. You know, I'm going to try and condense 42 years of my life in the next few minutes. And, you know, everybody here knows me mostly as, you know, Pastor Kingsley, worship leader, piano player. Some might even think that I'm intimidating, unapproachable, which is not true. I'm very approachable. But to me, for me to get to this process, you know, I had to go to get to this point in my life. I had to go through a process. Now Philippians 1:6 says, "And the Lord confirmed it when Ricky was just up here ministering. And I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." See, that process started for me 42 years ago, on June 25th, 1979, born to Manuel and Nieves Gill, on a hot day in Elmhurst Hospital in Queens. You know, me as a toddler, looking for milk one day, opened the refrigerator and I found a white bottle with some white liquid in it, thinking it was milk, and I drank half a bottle of rat poisoning. You know, this is me who, my parents, when I was a baby, my heavy smokers. And because of the cigarette smoke, I started convulsion in my crib. And until this day, I cannot be around anyone who smokes or a cigarette. I break into hives and my throat starts to lock up on me. You know, this is me at the age of 11, back when we were in our old building, our old church. My dad comes up to me and tells me, "Kingsley, you're going to learn the piano." I didn't get asked. I said, "What do you think?" He said, "Kingsley, you're going to learn the piano." So for about 5 or 6 years, every Saturday morning, the last thing I wanted to do was be in a car, you know, snow, winter, rain, drive an hour to Whitestone and eventually the Bronx and take piano lessons. Didn't want to do it. Eventually, you know, towards the end, I was like, I can deal with this. But those 1 hour practices, you know, during the week was torture. It was brutal over and over again. But look where that process took me. You know, not many know I was a pastor's kid. From 1990 to 1997, my parents were pastors of a church in Brooklyn on Fulton and Crescent called La Iglesia de Dios Viviente. You know, it's those 7 years is where I first experienced God. It's where I took my dreaded piano classes and I put them to use. And, you know, the Lord back then began a good work in me. And this is me as a teenager. My favorite uncle committed suicide in the building where I lived in. And I can remember the Holy Spirit telling me, "Go to your piano." And began the piano, I sat down, I started playing Dios Tú Eres Mi Sustento. And for that given moment, it brought peace and tranquility to myself and to my family around me. You know, after my parents left the pastorship, things at home didn't go so well. You know, things went sideways. You know, that's why I always pray for pastors and their families, because I know firsthand the stress, the strain that it puts on the family. You know, after a few years, my mother, she fled to Florida. So she fled to Florida. They got separated, my parents. You know, it was all hard and everything, devastating, but God knew all. You know, throughout all this, I didn't understand why, but now I realize, see, God has started a good work in me. You know, when I was surrounded by flames and nothing mattered or made sense, who else but God took my tragedy and turned it into a victory? You know, 2 weeks ago, Pastor was talking about observing God's faithfulness and read the story of Jacob in Genesis, and he touched the points on Jacob's conditions, experience, promises, and Jacob's reaction. Now, I'm sitting there 2 weeks ago, and I lean over to Abby, "Babe, I'm in trouble." She goes, "Why?" "Because the points that he's talking about, I'm going to bring." Remember that anxiety level I was talking to you about before in the beginning? Shot right back up to 100. You know, but that preaching hit home for me because, you know, I found myself in certain conditions when I was growing up, and what I saw. You know, my story is not like Jacob's. I never heard the voice of God, but I always knew that he was with me in my journey. And this brings me to my first point of the day, and our past prepares us. See, my past is different. It's different from Pastor Ignacio's, Pastor George's, it's different from Pastor's, it's different from Abby's. See, but I like to say my past molds or prepares us for the present, or should I say continues to mold us. You see, my past prepared me for what is at hand and what is this to come. You know, we don't always understand God's ways at times, and we may, you know, think we're ready for everything. When we're reading the Word, singing the new worship song, praying. You know, but, you know, we have to believe that, what else do we do? But we have to believe that what else, you know, that what God is doing and what he's doing will get us through this preparation process. You know, while God prepares you, and it seems that things are standing still, it's helpful to remember whose we are and where we are. It's better to be standing still than moving around at a high speed around it. See, but you don't understand, you may say, Kingsley, you know, that's been going on for way too long. If I had to wait another year, I can handle it. 5, 10, 20, I don't know. See, but we always say, you know, God works at his own timing, right? God's timing is a mystery. You know, if we start comparing the time that we waited, you know, with the times that others have spent, you know, we're going to be frustrated. See, God has a unique design for our lives. You know, and because of He's God of variety, you know, our time of preparation, our season of growth, it's not going to be like anybody else's. You have to trust the process. Point two, God prepares us for the worst. See, our God prepares us for the good works that He has planned for us, but He's also quick. He's also a master at planning to handle the valleys when we don't see them coming. And so I want to share a quick testimony. You know, in my previous job, I was there for 13 years. 13 years, I gave them sacrifices, you know, sweat, spent time away from my family for many times, you know, throughout the year. And you know, built great relationships and built my way up in the corporation. And you ever get that feeling like, man, something's not right. Something's not going to go your way. I remember sharing this with Abby. Said, babe, something's going on. I'm not sure what's going on, you know, but things at work are looking a little shaky. A couple of days later, I get an email from our human resources department. And on this, the email is myself, my staff, my team, and my boss. We want to meet with you. I shared this with Abby. I said, babe, I think I'm about to get laid off. 13 years. The next day, we go into the meeting, and within a span of less than 3 minutes, my whole professional career crumbles in front of me. Kingsley, you and your team's services are no longer needed here. 13 years, gone in 3 minutes. Now, I'm thinking to myself, how could they do this to me, you know? But this is where I realized God had His hand in this. You know, they offered me a package. If you stick around for the next 3 months, we'll give you a package, but there's one condition. And the condition was, you have to train your replacements. Now I'm sitting there, me? Train the people who can take my job? Nah, that's not gonna happen. How degrading is that? The stuff that I built the last couple years and give it to somebody else? Remember when I said Abby was wise? I sat down with Abby, she told me, Kingsley, just stick it out and see what happens. But inside of me, I'm telling myself, within the sight of a new job, I'm leaving everything and I'm gonna go. And so I put my resume out there. And when I say within a week, I'm getting phone calls, emails, interviews set up, to the point where it got really overwhelming. And I sat back and I said, Lord, if this is not you, please make these stop. Because the last thing I want to do is make an emotional decision. How many times have we made an emotional decision and we backtracked on that and regretted it? You know, so I go to John 16:13 and says, but when He, the Spirit of the truth, comes, He will guide you into all truth. He will not speak on His own. He will speak only what He hears, and He will tell you what is yet to come. See, I didn't hear the voice of God, but what I did hear and see was silence. I said, Lord, make this stop. Within 2 days, radio silence. No emails, no callbacks, no interviews, nothing. So I sat back and said, all right, this is the Holy Spirit telling me, I got you. Don't worry about it. But shortly after, my assurance and my faith in that started to degrade. Long story short, you know, it's coming toward the end of my time, and I'm in Cincinnati training the people that are taking over my position, and it's coming toward the end of my time there, about 3 weeks out. I'm in my hotel room, and I climb up, and I yell to the Lord, Lord, You promised. The time is near. I got nothing, Lord. What's next? You know, but woe is me to doubt God. You know, from the season to the beginning believer, we all have doubt. We doubt. And I'm going to use Pastor Carl as an example. You know, during the pandemic, we're building a building. He walks in, they shut us down. He walks up against the rubble. He says, Lord, what have I done? And the Lord reassured him, I promised you. I got you. And let's talk a little bit about doubt. You know, doubt puts your faith through a test. You know, and you'll come out stronger for it. Now, I'm not saying you should walk around with doubt all the time. But if anything, learn from your moment of doubt. You know, doubt forces you into action. No one likes doubts to linger, so you're urged to find out, you know, what is really true or not. You know, those questions come along with doubts, and they beg to be answered. Yeah, you, and your journey finding the answers, you know, it's a faith-building one. You know, as most of you know from experience, doubt isn't a one-time occurrence. It happened repeatedly through your life. Repeatedly occurring doubts, you know, it helps to freshen our faith. And when doubts do come, don't handle them with high skepticism. You know, address them with high hopes. Let me tell you how my moments of doubt elevated my faith. You know, so going back to that moment of doubt, the very next day after I prayed that prayer, I said, Lord, hear me out. The very next day, I get a phone call. Kingsley, this is so-and-so. I'm a recruiter for so-and-so. And we found a job we think you'd be fit for. The next day. Remember, I prayed 3 months before. Lord, this is not your will. Take it away. 2 days later, everything stops. The next day after my prayer in Cincinnati, in that hotel room, the next day I get a phone call. If that's not the Lord, then I don't know what is. No, so the process took about 3 weeks. I go through the interview process. I'm done. Kingsley, we're going to make a decision Monday morning. Great. So I remember I'm at home, sitting in my basement. I'm home all alone. And my wife, she had gone out to run some errands. And I told her, when they call me, I'm going to FaceTime you. I want you to hear the news with me. I'm in a meeting with a bunch of peers, executives that I'm holding. I see the call come in. I put everybody on hold. I pick up the phone call. I call Abby. The lady in the line, Kingsley, yes. Listen, they made a decision and they want to go with you. And I'm, praise the Lord, I'm happy, I'm content. You know, Abby's happy, you know, the weight on my shoulders is lifted. But God, because we're going through the details, and she goes to me, Kingsley, but there's something else. And this is what floored me. Because in my times of doubt, in my times of worry, the Lord always reminded me, I got you and I got something better for you. Before the meeting, and she tells me, listen, Kingsley, there's one other thing. They want to offer you more money than what you requested. The streams of tears that came out of my eyes, Abby's eyes, because it was so humbled. Because who am I? What was me to doubt what God has in store for me? See, but it doesn't end there. See, the Lord knew. Now, if it wasn't for those 3 months of training and the key skills that I learned during those 3 months, I would not have been prepared for the job that I have now. See, I didn't quite understand quite why, you know, I had to stick around, but the Lord knew. See, sometimes you can't deal with your present situation if you haven't a past experience. You have to trust the process. Point three. You know, there's a season for everything. What is God preparing you for? What's he preparing me for? You know, you have some indications about the future as you move through your seasons. It could be a gradual revelation, where little by little you see growth. You know, it could be a complete mystery if you have no choice but to walk by faith. I had to walk by faith. During my times with doctor, I remember being at work, and a non-believer came up to me and told me, Kingsley, God's got your back. A non-believer. You know, when the clamor around you is drowning out God's still voice, everyone needs a Mordecai. You need someone in your life who will encourage you to follow the course the Master has laid out, to run the race with endurance, take one step at a time, and only where he leads you. You know, as you abide in him, you will naturally begin to think his thoughts. You know, it's possible for you to be so close to him and your thoughts and your life reflects the desires and directions for your life. You know, people should see us coming. Like he or she, they should see he or she and say, you know, she acts just like Christ. John 15:7 says, promises, if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask your desire and it should be done for you. I want to know him like that, don't you? But you can't be sure. It will take lots of preparation time. It takes time to abide. I remember I said in the beginning, I read a long chapter and I walked off the altar and I was going to be a little bit longer. I'm a little longer. So I'm going to ask the worship team to start coming up. Now, we all have some choices to make. No, I'm not a tea drinker. Right? I only drink tea when I'm sick. Like most of us. We think tea is going to heal us. See, but you see some tea drinkers, they take the bag and they dip it in and out of the water. Right? And why do they do that? You know, they do that so the tea doesn't get too strong. Now, you can be like some tea drinkers. You know, you can let the bag stay in the water, or you can dip it in and out of the cup because you don't want it to get too strong. If you want to live, if you want to have a full life in Christ, saturate yourself in His Word and ground yourself in His prayer. You know, He will probably take you through some hot water, but it will make you strong. You know, although our lives are, you know, all our lives, throughout our lives, we're called to obey, serve, and prepare whatever God has for us. You know, the rigorous season of growth doesn't last forever. You know, this too shall pass. Ecclesiastes 3, verses 1 through 13 tells us that there's a time for everything. And after a time and season of growth, we will enter a new season, the season of harvest. You see, God started a process in me those 42 years ago. I had to trust the process. I had to learn to trust the process, because there were times where I wanted to give up. With the things that I saw around me, I could have easily steered away from what the Lord had. It was around me. My family at the time weren't serving. So it was easy for me to be like, yeah, no, I got this, God. I'll do this on my own. Where would I have been if I had not trusted the process? Back then, I didn't know I was going through a process. I was too young. But now I know, and I reflect back on that life. I had to trust the process. You know, we have to trust in God. You know, we'll all be rolling along in our own processes until the coming of the Lord. But along that process, God will use you in ways unimaginable. He will show you things that you have never thought you'd ever see. He will keep you from things that you didn't see coming. But He will be alongside of you, hand in hand, and step by step. The process prepares for the unseen. Trust the process. You know, I'm a worship pastor, and it wouldn't do justice if I didn't put a little bit of worship into this. You know, I've been listening to a song lately, and I pray that this song, these next few lines, are an anthem to your life when you're going through the process and you're doubting whether the Lord is with you. See, it says, I won't be shaken. I won't be moved. My God is faithful. His promises are true. So I speak to the mountains. Oh, it's time to move. Because my God is bigger, better, and stronger than you. God bless you, church.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.